He turns. He fires for the win. He's got the bucket at the buzzer.
Weber back to Bibby. Has the open shot.
Ladies and gentlemen, up on those feet. Put those hands together. And we'll meet tonight starting five for your Sacramento Kings.
Welcome to the Kings Beat Podcast. I am James Hamm, Kings Insider for ESPN 1320 and the Kings Beat. Joining me today, Mr. Sean Cunningham from Fox 40. Sean, how are you?
I am spectacular. Beautiful weather. I will say I've been doing a lot of football, a lot of golf this week. And it's fun to be able to do some basketball right now with you. And it looks like I'm missing my friend Brendan. We'll have to get reacquainted with him next week, but definitely looking forward to talking to some basketball. There's when you're out doing these football games, be it high school or the NFL, you can tell there's a little bit of a crisp in the air, and it's coming. So that's just the big sign that basketball's right around the corner.
Yeah, I was sitting at home last night, and my son went to the Bear River football game because he's doing yearbook and he had to go take pictures. And he doesn't know what he's doing. I had to teach him how to hold a camera. He took like 3,000 pictures, which I'm sure like 8 of them might be okay. So he needs some work. But I saw on Twitter that Joe Davidson was at Bear River. So I text Joe. I'm like, hey, you still over there? He's like, yeah, I'm still here. And so I booked it over to the game, which is like a mile away. It's across the road. And I hung out with Joe Davidson and watched a little high school football. Bear River, of course, is, what are they, Division 5? I don't know.
Yeah, they're down there. I mean, if your son's taken 8,000 pictures of people at Bear River, including Sacramento Bees Joe Davidson, that means each person got their picture taken about 250 times.
There were a ton of people.
Really?
There were. It was a Thursday night. It was opening. It was the first home game for Bear River, and it was packed. One side. And then they played some other school that I'd never heard of.
Yeah, they're in the Bay Area. I looked at that game and had a very brief thought of going up there because here we are at high school football talk, but three games that were in Fairfield and one was up at Bear River. And I was like, man, there is nothing close. So,
yeah, because Bear River had opened with two games in the Modesto area, which is a long way from here. That's like a good 2.5 hour drive. Anyway, it was good to go hang out with Joe Davidson. There's a lot going on at Bear River. They've had a really rough start to the year. My good friend is a principal, and unfortunately, his wife passed away in the first week of school after a long battle with breast cancer. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things that we've had here on the podcast. We've talked about in the past. Ran a GoFundMe for them and stuff. So, like, really, community stepping up, surrounding family. It's been really amazing to watch. But also very, very difficult. It's been a long couple of weeks. Let's see. Where's Brendan? Where's Brendan? Last week it was me and Brendan. This week it's me and Sean. That's because Brendan started a new job, and we are very, very excited for Brendan. He has landed as a writing gig and editing and doing some social media stuff. At Sactown Sports 1140?
Yeah, nailed it.
KHTK. So we're super happy for Brendan, but he still gets to do the podcast. It's just we had a scheduling snafu this week where Brendan is starting his new stuff. Sean has football, and I have the radio stuff. And then I am leaving tomorrow to go on vacation. So
where are you going?
Where am I going? I am taking a cruise.
Where in the world is James Hamm?
I am taking a cruise, which I've always said I will never take a cruise. I am taking a cruise, but this is like, I think, the only place I would take a cruise. We board a plane tomorrow morning for Seattle, and then we jump on a cruise ship to Alaska. So
outstanding.
Next week, I will be in Alaska, so I will not be on the Insiders on ESPN 1320 from 10 to noon with Kyle Madsen. I will be on not just James on a boat, James on a really, really big boat. And this is one of those rare times where I will tell you right now, it's probably like a guarantee that we will not have a podcast next week. It's just the way that it goes. Sean, I took my laptop to Puerto Vallarta. We did podcasts. I sat there in a really, really nice timeshare, writing and covering the free agency opening, but like trying to breaking news from Puerto Vallarta. I'm going to bring my laptop, but I don't think I'm going to do any of that on this trip. I worry about Wi-Fi on a ship in the middle of the ocean.
It's tough. First of all, I think you're going to fall in love with cruises. I really do. I hear these horror stories about cruises and all that stuff. And my experience, I've been on four cruises, but I've been on three cruises that I like. And they were, two of them were in the Mexican Riviera, and then another one was a Caribbean cruise. The last one was the Caribbean cruise, and technology was a little bit different back then. But if I was literally pulling out of Miami and working the Rudy Gay trade to Sacramento from Toronto, the Gravis Vasquez, Chuck Hayes deal, I was running out of cell service. We were literally leaving the port of Miami, heading to the Caribbean when that all went down. And so, now there was internet capabilities. It was very expensive on the boat, and it wasn't that powerful. I think a lot has changed since then technologically, and I think you're going to have a blast. And I think it's good. Leave your laptop. Like, no one's, with respect to our loyal Kings Beat listeners, I think we can all take a week off. We got the season right around the corner. We're going to be ramping up very, very soon. And we'll have a lot more to talk about in the coming weeks, for sure.
We will have a lot to talk about. It's been strangely noisy over maybe the last like 10 days. Like, there's more news.
Strange?
Well, there's more news in the first 2 weeks of September than typical. Maybe a little bit. Maybe not. So, let's just get to the basics. So if you're watching here on YouTube and you don't mind, subscribe to the channel. Also, if you don't mind, give us a thumbs up. That helps the algorithm. Those are all cool things. Number two, go to thekingsbeat.com. Become a subscriber to the Kings Beat. Just because I'm on 1140.
Are you?
That was a slip.
Breaking
just
news.
Just because I'm on ESPN 1320. And having a show there from 10 to noon every day, I will leave there, go straight to practice, and I will be at every game, and I will cover the Kings just like I have for the previous 13 seasons. So the Kings Beat is not going anywhere. I love it. I love writing. I love being. I love podcasting, and I love working with Brendan and with Mr. Sean Cunningham here. So jump on board with thekingsbeat.com. This is going to be year 3. Of the Kings Beat, which is totally crazy to think.
When's our birthday show?
It's going to be, I want to say the last week of October is when we officially turn two, going into our third season.
Oh yeah, because the first, okay, because we were zero.
Yeah, year zero. Yes,
we were weeks old. Okay,
we were weeks old. Okay, so our first topic that we're going to discuss here. I'm going to make a huge disclaimer here. I cover the Kings, Brendan covers the Kings, and Sean covers the Kings. Like, all of us over the course of time, me and Sean have broke plenty of news. Jordan Ford, Sean was all over this for like the last 3 months. And I want to give Sean his flowers here because, you had this nailed the entire time that Jordan Ford would be in training camp and possibly more. And now we know, not only will he be in training camp, but possibly more.
Yeah. Well, thank you. It's fun. It's fun to see him. I think we can kind of compare him to the route that Gabe Vincent had taken. And obviously this is becoming a little bit more common these days to see someone who goes undrafted, toils in the G League, makes the most out of summer league opportunities and finds their way, you know, somehow to an NBA roster. And the addition of a third two-way contract did that. His gritty play last year as a starter with the Stockton Kings, and then coming into what he did with Summer League. And I think where Kings fans really took notice for him of him this past summer. Look, he's kind of an underdog, right? I mean, he's a little, not the biggest person of stature in terms of physicality, but he plays with a lot of heart, has a great handle and a real good feel for the game. And we'll see if it translates to the NBA level. He has the opportunity now, and it's not something where here's a training camp invite, which is at least at the bare minimum what we thought he would end up getting. But I think there was real consideration for an actual roster spot at a certain point. For it to be a two-way, I think, is the way that it where it needs to be. I think that gives him the ultimate freedom, because I think right now the Kings are a little bit too advanced for someone like him just cutting their teeth in the NBA. And he will benefit greatly from being able to play in Stockton. He'll be alongside the other two-way players, which is Keon Ellis having a second two-way contract and Jalen Slauson, the second round pick. And I think, you know, he might even see Colby Jones down there at various points of the year. And it'll be nice to kind of see that group kind of get their NBA legs, if you will. I think it's going to be an important year for Jordan. I think it's going to be an even more important year for Keon Ellis especially. But yeah, I think it's a way to reward someone who obviously has local ties but also has some talent there. And James, I think I speak for you too. For some people who didn't really get to see a lot of him or pay attention to Stockton at all, Summer League, I think they kind of fell in love with him a little bit. He was fun to watch.
He is an instant fan favorite. I mean, talk about a kid who plays hard, who's super smart, who knows when to like go for it and knows when to pull back and set up his teammates. I think that he is a very, very nice addition. And I don't know that he's going to play a ton. We don't know, but I think it'll be a big deal when he does make his debut. I hope that like it gets played up as much as possible. He is a local kid. And Sean, that kind of leads me, he grew up in Citrus Heights, went to Folsom High. What have you seen from him as, like, you saw him as a kid? He was excellent in St. Mary's for 4 years. He was absolutely, he was a leader. I averaged over 20 points a game at St. Mary's. And then, you know, he bounces around after his college career and ends up, you know, finding his way back to the G League. But what have you seen as far as his progression from a young man to where he is today?
Yeah, he's the one.
He's muted. You just muted.
That was weird. I didn't even hit mute. I think I might have had a little glitch over here. The Gremlins are there.
The Gremlins
are in the system. Yeah, but Jordan, I mean, seeing him at Folsom High, the one thing he's always had is a very a lot of basketball smarts, a high IQ, and a great feel for the game. I never looked at him and thought, hey, that's an NBA player. Mm-hmm. But every program he played with, he always ended up being, you know, the player, the player that your eyes would kind of gravitate to. When he was at St. Mary's, I mean, you play 4 years at St. Mary's, he's not a guy that you would, I think, look at him and go, this is a scoring guy. I mean, but he picks his spots, he finds his moments, and he ends up being the program's second leading scorer of all time. Which is saying something. I mean, I know St. Mary's is, you know, not the biggest program, but they've always had they've always found ways to have success, maybe punch their way into the tournament, and have guys that have been able to make the league before. And Randy Bennett, his coach there, loved the guy. He calls him a little legend, and the way he works, and it was really a reward to him. If you go back, I mean, I've referenced it on the podcast before, but Golden One Center ended up hosting an exhibition game, a neutral site game where, you know, you typically have your your Sac State and your Davis, the Causeway Classic of basketball, where they'll meet up in a game. But before that, they end up having a bigger college game. And for that game, it ended up being, if I'm not mistaken, St. Mary's. And I think it was Fresno State at the time and Noah Blackwell, who's a kid who played at Roseville's Wood Creek High School. And they had kind of a game where both of these guys are coming back into their hometown, and they played a lot in high school. And Noah has since, you know, bounced around from a time or two to a different program. But it was a way to kind of bring these guys and let them play at a collegiate level in their hometown. So have that little kind of local flair and angle, if you will. So, yeah, he's Jordan is a guy who just makes the most of opportunities. You know, he's not going to be the most flashy guy. He makes the simple play, but he's also very, very fun to watch. And he has in my opinion, I think where he's really excelled and gotten better is his handle. I mean, his ball handling skills. I mean, James, every time we look at a basketball player, we go, what does this person do really well? What are they elite at? What do they have an upper echelon talent or skill? And to me, a lot of it has to do with his ball handling. He worships Steph Curry growing up, and you kind of look at him and how he models his game a little bit. And yeah, his ball handling is very impressive to me. And I feel like he has grown in so many ways to where he's, even though not the biggest guy on the floor, he has a confidence about him. So he's a leader. I think you saw a lot of the leadership come through in Summer League. I think that kind of birthed a little bit playing in Stockton under Bobby Jackson. And they carried that over into Summer League, where he made a lot of strides. And I think a lot of people around the league kind of took notice of him. And credit to him, you go out of Summer League and maybe you have an idea of what's going to happen. The organization, I would imagine, had probably been in his ear about a role that they at least think for him. But that doesn't stop him and his people from going out and listening to other offers and what could possibly be out there. But he remained in Sacramento. He remained working out in the team's facility. I mean, most of the time, if you follow him on social media, he's working out at the old Arco Arena site where the Kings had their, where the Stockton Kings have a lot of their facilities at. And he stayed in town. I remember he was at a community organized thing in Stockton where they were doing some goodwill in the community, handing out a lot of, meals and stuff like that for underprivileged people in the community, and just continued to stay here. So I think he's been rewarded with at least the training camp situation, and here it gravitates to a two-way contract. Couldn't be more thrilled for the guy, and I think he's a guy that a lot of people are going to be able to root for.
Yeah, I think so too. I'll tell you what I love about the Jordan Ford situation. What I think is that last season, the Kings kept Matthew Dellavedova, and I think Sean and I were both like shocked when Dellavedova made the team. Not because we don't believe that Dellavedova is like a good dude or anything. We just, you know, his NBA days look long past him. He hadn't played in the league in a little while. He had been very limited in the games that he did play before that. I like this situation because your starter is De'Aaron Fox, and he's going to play 34, 35 minutes a night. Your backup is Davion Mitchell, and he's going to play 18 to 22 minutes a night. There isn't a lot of room for another player. And even if you did have room for another player, or if you have one of Fox or Mitchell go down, you still have Malik Monk. You still have Chris Duarte that can step in and play some lead guard minutes, especially with Domantas Sabonis. So Sabonis is also a point guard at the center position. And so I don't know how much Jordan will get to play, but I was surprised that last season, I thought the same thing about Dellavedova, and he ended up playing in 32 games. And he ended up playing more minutes than Alex Len. So I don't know that he'll get the same opportunity, but what I dig about the two-way player contract is that Jordan can run a team in Stockton. He can remain in shape. He can stay in a rhythm. He can keep doing the things that he's doing and build his game. And then there are going to be days where the Kings have practice in Sacramento, and he can come to practice. He can get brought onto the G League roster. I mean, onto the main roster. He can go through an entire practice. He can get sent back and go play that game in Stockton, or he can stay in Sacramento and either suit up or not suit up, but you have 50 games that he can play with the parent club. And the difference is between signing a veteran for that position and signing a guy like Jordan Ford is that, first of all, you pay half the salary and it doesn't count against the salary cap at all, right? The $550K that the Jordan is going to make, it doesn't count for the cap against the King's salary cap. That's a two-way player rule. But the other thing is that you have a player who's game ready, not a player who's been sitting there doing nothing and getting in a couple of pickup games here and there with some of his teammates when he's not playing enough. So you have sort of a ready-made guy, and you're also building your program at the same time. So I think there's so many advantages to this. And again, I will be very excited for him the moment he actually steps on an NBA court, because this is big. Like, making an, getting one opportunity to play in a game, that is absolutely amazing for anyone who, you know, like for a local kid, especially, to like say you made it. And to me, I'm excited to see what he has to offer.
And you think about too, just like guys that, these are the stories I love, guys from our community who can crack the roster. And typically we've seen it in training camp before. We've seen it in summer league before. You know, Matt Barnes was a king twice. I mean, he's a guy who grew up here in Sacramento, and, you know, Marquise Chris was, I always joke, almost a king. We get drafted and then traded and then come back and cut. And, you know, have these moments, but to see a guy who really kind of takes the unorthodox route and get rewarded for the hard work, as opposed to having to go cut his teeth elsewhere. I mean, and he did that. I mean, for people who don't know, he did have a 2-year stint in the G League with the Agua Caliente Clippers, and he had a I believe it was a training camp invite with the Clippers. I know he was on their summer league roster at one point. So this won't be his first taste of the NBA experience, but he still hasn't broken in and played in an NBA game yet, and he still hasn't been through an entire season on an NBA roster. And this will give him that opportunity. And I love it too, James, to see these positions exist within the league, to where, you know, in the NFL you have practice squad guys, and that is their game days are practice days. Well, Jordan gets the best of both worlds, gets to practice with the Kings, gets to potentially be able to suit up for the Kings and hear his name called at some point. But more than anything, he's still playing in games with the G League to stay ready and develop. And it's exciting. I think the NBA does it the best out of all the major sports. And I'm just glad we get to see somebody that we have some familiarity with that gets to go through and do it. Because I think, like you mentioned, it'll be a lightning rod for fans. And I think the minute, if and when that moment comes where he gets to step foot on the court, hopefully he does so at the Golden One Center, and I think Kings fans will respond appropriately.
I think they will too. Like last year we saw the huge ovation for Chima Moneke, who went to UC Davis, but wasn't a local kid. I mean, but he still had like fanfare of getting to play. And I thought it was a big deal. This is huge. It's huge for Sacramento. It's huge for your community to show players that they can, you know, that you can make it from here. You can. So, you know, like, it's not like Sacramento hasn't produced pros before. Kevin Johnson, you know, like Marquise Chris, like what you mentioned. There's all kinds of Gabe Vincent, or is it James Nunley? Is that the other one?
Yeah, James Nunley he's from Stockton, Weston Ranch High School. Played overseas, played with Bogdan Bogdanovic during that time. But he's made the most of his run overseas, and he's made really good money over there. And there's a lot of guys that are from the Sacramento area that strictly play overseas. I remember one time Tyreek Evans, when he was traded, I believe it was when he was traded, I went and did the interview at his house that he had just kind of moved into in the Rockland area. And I pull up to the house, and there's this beautiful, beautiful like car. I want to say it was a Maserati, but it was like, I don't know cars very well. I can't remember what it was, but I had assumed that it was Tyreek's car. And I was like, man, that's incredible. And I'm walking in there, and I asked one of his people, I go, hey, is that Tyreek's car? He's like, no, that's Robert Sally's car. Robert Sally is someone he played with at Memphis, and Robert Sally went to Valley High School. And Robert Sally ends up being kind of a star overseas and making great money. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like, that makes sense. Cause if you know Tyreek, like, he didn't really have, you know, flashy cars and stuff like that. So that was kind of eye-opening experience. And yeah, there's a lot of guys like that from Sacramento who are able to do that. Mike McKinney, a former Sac State player, kind of comes to mind, and has been overseas and comes back in the off season and trains here locally in Sacramento. So it's always fun to see some of these guys get an opportunity. And obviously you mentioned Chima. That was the guy who him and Casey Akpala, we were talking a lot about at this time last year and right before training camp got underway. So storylines change a little bit, but yeah, fortunately camp is right around the corner and we're going to have some fresh blood in there.
That's right. Okay, so I'm going to touch base with a small transaction that happened yesterday. The Sacramento Kings, the Stockton Kings traded the returning player rights of Alex O'Connell and Jariah Horn to, I don't even know who they traded to, for James Akinjo. So that's going to be a player. He averaged 14.4 points last year. 6.6 assists, 3.2 rebounds. He's actually really solid. He's a 22-year-old point guard, 6'1". I think he'll probably be there a lot with Jordan Ford. They'll probably take turns, especially with Jordan having the opportunity to go up and down. So that's a body that they're replacing, that they're bringing in for the G League squad.
That up, Jariah and Alex, they're off to the Westchester Knicks.
Westchester Knicks. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
In case people want to follow along.
Yeah. I love Alex O'Connell. He's so much fun to watch. Yeah. I don't know why he hasn't really found more of an opportunity, but I felt that way every time I watch him play. Like, how can I get to see more of that guy? He jumps off the page every time.
And he jumps off the gym. That guy's got
Whether it's a three-point shot or the crazy vert, either way. And then we have the sort of the crappy news. So with Jordan Ford joining the team, this has nothing to do with Jordan Ford joining the team, but the Kings decided to part ways with Nemias Keita and Nerlens Noel. And this was kind of a strange one, but after, I reported the weekend before that Alex Len and of course, JaVale McGee were going to make the team. And we're going to act as like backups here to Monas Sabonis. That really did leave like one final roster spot and two players that were both on small guarantee contracts. Nemi was on $250,000 and Nerlens Noel was on $300,000 just to come to camp. And the Kings decided for whatever their reasoning, what I've heard very specifically is they wanted to give these guys an opportunity to potentially go and find another spot before training camp. Whether that works out or not, I'll just say that when JaVale McGee became available, that changed everything for Nerlens Noel and Nemias Keita. The Kings absolutely love JaVale McGee. JaVale McGee will play for the Kings this year. I don't know how much he'll play, but he will be part of some sort of rotation. They still love Alex Len. He was such a good teammate last year. And strangely enough, if you look at his numbers when he stepped on the court late in the year and in the playoffs, his plus minus and everything else was wild. Like, he was very impactful when he did get an opportunity. And so they're going to run with Domantas Sabonis as the starting center, of course. And then they're going to back him up with JaVale McGee and Alex Len. And then I'm sure we're going to see a ton of small ball five out of Trey Lyles. And Sean, is there anything else with this that like sticks out to you?
No, I think that is what changed everything is JaVale McGee. And I think they took some time and assessed and said, hey, do we really want to see this battle out in training camp? Do we really want to see some of these guys, you know, maybe step up to the plate? Like, you know, we kept talking about, and I thought it was a great opportunity for somebody like Nemias Keita. But I think he also has some opportunity or some interest in other places at the time, and to give him some freedom to just go and pursue those as opposed to, all right, beat out these guys, beat out some NBA vets who are aging downside of their career and overcome, and all the while knowing that there's a confidence in JaVale McGee from Mike Brown and his staff, and a confidence in Alex Len, knowing that he's been there, done that, and kind of seen everything that you could go through. Look, I wasn't keen on seeing Nerlens Noel. I think he would have washed out in training camp anyway. And, you know, it had speculation of maybe there'd be three of them that make the team, given the growth that, that Kata has shown. But nothing is permanent in the NBA. So, you know, we've seen plenty of opportunity moments where people leave and they go and pursue opportunities and end up back in Sacramento one day. Not to say that that'll happen, but at the end of the day, it's all about winning. And you're a better team, at least in theory, with JaVale McGee right now as a proven player, even despite his setback that he had with Dallas. It didn't really mesh there. But for the type of basketball that the Kings play, has the opportunity to probably fit in better than any of those guys. He brings something that all those people he was essentially going to compete with in training camp. And if you had to pick one right off the bat, you'd realize that, okay, he'd be the guy. And you put JaVale McGee in a situation where you've already signed him to guaranteed money. You might as well put his mind at ease to go in there and say, all right, I'm not having to compete. You know, this is my spot. I have to keep my spot. I still have to earn it. But there's no one breathing over my shoulder here, especially given what just happened in Dallas, where it didn't go well for him. So I think it's a fresh start for him, even though he is 35. But he brings something to the table that I think is needed on this team. I think a lob threat, the way they run the floor. I think if JaVale McGee can, I want to see him run this way. Like I know we've been able to see it in years past. He's a finely conditioned athlete, but I'm curious to see if he can run this way at 35 even still. So it'll be fun to see how that plays out. But yeah, I mean, pretty much a rim protector, and you know, he's a guy who can block shots and rebound. So not a great defender per se anymore, but I still think he has enough that he can have in the tank to where that this team will benefit from having his presence. And I'm with you, James. I don't know what that looks like from a rotational standpoint and how often you see him on the floor. I think we alluded to it the other day that he could be a guy that he plays maybe every second or third game at moments. You might see moments where he doesn't play, and it entirely depends upon matchups. But the way this team plays, I think JaVale McGee will fit in a nice way.
Yeah, I think the guy who celebrated the most is Malik Monk. Like, this is a dude for Malik Monk. They're going to be devastating in a pick and roll. Malik loves the lob threat, and JaVale McGee is one of the great lob threats in the game. He's an acrobat in the air, so incredibly long and athletic still, even at 35. And he's a big dude. And we're talking about a 7-footer, weighs 270. He's a big man. And I think he's going to play a role. I think this brings us to what we like to call him.
Can I say one thing before you do that? The one I feel terrible for is that we don't have Jason Jones up here anymore covering the Kings on a daily basis.
I do too. Because he loves JaVale.
Former SACB beat writer for the Kings, Jason Jones, who now is over at the Athletic, and he's doing great things on the sports culture side of the Athletic, and it's a shame he doesn't get to cover JaVale McGee. He's got to come up for opening night.
He's gonna show up, and like we might have to chip in and buy him a JaVale McGee Kings jersey just to mess with Jason. He loves JaVale. JaVale is like his dude. Let's get to the business of basketball. There it is. Like, look, I don't like these transactions. Like we've watched Nemias Keita like develop and become a better player. And I feel for him, and I feel for the good people of Portugal, because now you don't know where your guy's going to be. And I think it lends me to a question, Sean. For so many times this has been the case in Sacramento, where like for whatever reason a player comes to the team at just the wrong time. Like if the Kings weren't the Kings last year that we saw, if they weren't the 48-win team, like I don't think this happens. I think it's very possible that Nemias Keita is given another year or two to develop with this team, and potentially he could have even been the backup center if your aspirations are to win 30 games. That's just not who the Kings are. That's not who they are going forward for the next 5 years, hopefully, at least in their mind. They're a team that's on the rise. They're going to chase veteran players. And I guess that's my question, because I think we've seen it with Scal Abissier. Scal came to the Sacramento Kings at the wrong time. And because the Kings had so many young people, that Scal and his super nice personality got lost in the shuffle. And I think that, I mean, again, you look at his rookie year, the Kings had Willie Cauley-Stein as a rookie the year before, but they draft Yorgos Papagiannis, Malachi Richardson, Scal Labissiere, and they trade for Buddy Hield on that year. The next season, you have De'Aaron Fox, you have Justin Jackson, you have Harry Giles, you have Frank Mason. They bring Bogdan Bogdanovic over. So we're talking about nine guys that are in their first and second year all together. And so I think Scal just unfortunately was one of many in that group, but one guy that got lost in the shuffle. You can't have like 25 developmental coaches that are working two on one to get a player up to speed at all times. It's not the way it works. And I guess that's my question is this just like Nimi lost in a moment? Do you think he can make it in the league? Do you think that, again, the Kings thrown out, they just wasted $550,000. Is that just the cost of doing business right now for a team like this that's like right there and feels like they have a shot?
Well, I will say, I think that's still the question for Nemias Keita. We were asking ourselves that question, like, is he an NBA player? That now he'll get his shot. Well, now he kind of won't until he finds a home that he gets to either battle it out in a training camp, which is right around the corner, or possibility of going back to the G League where he really excelled last year. But I think, you know, look, there's no loyalty in sports, and to the Kings' credit, they put him in a position to reward him for a lot of his development. I mean, anyone who thinks this organization is frugal or cheap, look again. I mean, they just signed Nerlens Noel and gave him, what, $250,000, $300,000, you know, just to basically pretend you're a king for a few months. Again, JaVale McGee changes everything, his presence here. And I think the Kings did right by both Nerlens Noel and Nemias Keita. Nemias Keita gets a nice chunk of change coming off of Summer League, and he can go off and still try to find an opportunity. That opportunity may exist overseas this late in the game. That opportunity may exist in the G League again. I'm not sure. I know someone had reported that it was true. Is he still two-way eligible? I don't know that he is, but yeah, he is, right?
He is. He's in his third season, and he can have a third year of two-way eligibility. And he just got 250. So if he does find his way into a two-way contract, which, to be honest with you, for teams that are out there, you'd be crazy not to go out. I mean, if you want your G League team to actually have success, bringing in like the guy who was all defensive team, all G League and second MVP balloting, and he's 24 years old, that makes a lot of sense for teams. Like, I don't think he has to go into the G League draft and he'll be the first pick in the draft without any question, and then go sign a G League contract for 70 grand or 80 grand, whatever it is now. I think he'll get a two-way contract. And there's always a possibility he gets more than that, that someone says, hey,
right.
You know, I know there are teams that have sniffed around already who are intrigued by him. There were some questions about his foot that, you know, because he did hurt his foot at the end of Summer League. But everything I've heard around the team is that he was about to be cleared for all basketball related activities, and that he was playing 3-on-3 games and like he looks fine. So the foot isn't an issue. It's not an injury situation. It's very specifically that the Kings are just in a different place. And I think that happens sometimes, Sean.
Yeah, I mean, not everyone can play, you know, we already know not everyone can play, but to your point earlier where you're spending a lot of time bringing people along, this was one that they invested in a lot of patience in, and he did nothing wrong. You know, I think, and I've mentioned it before, I think where he was, I think if they could do his rookie season over again, it might look a little bit different, because he didn't get the development, in my opinion, that he needed right away. But again, I mean, let's pretend someone disagrees with me on that. They would tell you that, hey, you know what? That person would say that He came from Utah State, man. Not a lot of NBA talent comes from Utah State. This is somebody that really needed to be hold their hand and bring them along slowly. That could very well be true. But I think based off of where they were with him, they could afford at the time to be patient. Now you really can't. Like, you've got some people that you're investing in for your future a little bit on the end of the roster at the moment. I think, James, much like you, I was a little surprised they ended up with two draft picks out of the second round this year that they were willing to invest in. Colby Jones being obviously the one that comes to mind right off the bat, but also Jalen Slauson. And
I was very surprised.
Yeah. It just becomes a numbers game at that point. And now if you put if you think it from a Nemias Keita standpoint, I think he was looking at coming out, like, maybe not being in love with playing in a third summer league at one point, but knowing that you still have critics that you must either silence or change their opinion of. And you played well in summer league. Granted, you hurt your foot toward the end of it, but I didn't think, in my opinion, that him playing in summer league was going to do him any favors based off the year he just had in the G League. It is rather haphazard basketball. I think for him, it was the next step of what's he look like in training camp with the intent on him making an NBA roster. Can he earn that roster spot? And I think he was poised well to do that. But at the end of the day, it is a business and they're in a different place. And JaVale McGee changes the whole landscape of things. Before you have the pre-JaVale McGee and the the post-JaVale McGee world. And unfortunately, this is the right decision for the Kings to make, and it comes at the expense of a guy who has a lot of upside. Look, this happens in sports, in every sport. But unfortunately, it just means that he's not going to be here in Sacramento at this moment. And that could be the best thing possible, because I think if you're asking Nemias Keita, he's in his mind, he's probably like, no, screw the G League. I shouldn't be a two-way player. I want to be able to earn a roster spot on an NBA team. And if I can't, then, you know, that presents a different world of options at that point. But I think he's completely, at least weeks ago, he was completely set on making the NBA roster, proving people that he could be better than the guys like Nerlens Noel, JaVale McGee, Trey Lyles as a small ball center, and provide something different that those guys don't offer. So now he gets to go and do that, hopefully with another NBA team that might like to kick the tires on him.
Okay, Sean, I'm going to break this down a little bit for like 2 seconds. The team he came into his rookie season, which was just 2 years ago, it wasn't last season. It was a season before that. So we're not talking like years ago. Of that team, De'Aaron Fox, Harrison Barnes, Davion Mitchell are all that's left.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Len. Alex Len was on that team. And then Alex Len came back for last year. Oh, no. Didn't Alex Len come over late that year?
I don't remember. He did a second stint, so that's why I didn't count Alex Len initially.
Yeah, Alex Len just keeps doing stints in Sacramento. Alex Len, I believe, was on the team that whole year. He played 39 games. Is that the year? No, that's not the year that he left. He went to Toronto, went to Washington, and then he came back the next year and signed. So this is Alex's third year in Sacramento straight. But that's it. Like, this is a completely different roster. Everyone is different. And for some reason, the Kings were able to find like kismet. They were able to find just this magical moment where everything came together. And all of a sudden they were a much better team than they expected to be. And that's unfortunately sometimes how players lose their place on a team that they're with, and whether it's play style changing or just like the fact that your team had won 31 games a couple of years in a row and all of a sudden they win 48, you know, and you're a player and veterans want to come and play for you and veterans that fit your position better than you. So I think that's, it's unfortunate, and I wish Nemi nothing but the best. Like, I don't know Nerlens Noel. I haven't really been in a scrum with him before, but with Nemi, he's a great kid, and I hope it all works out for him.
With Nerlens Noel, just real quickly, this isn't unfamiliar territory for him.
Yeah,
I mean, he if anyone understands the business of basketball, it's Nerlens Noel. He's bounced around a lot. He's just trying to find some place that can give him a little consistency. I think he's trying to find consistency in his own game, but it's eluded him. And it'll be interesting to see if he finds another opportunity, because that may not exist.
All right, Sean, the last thing I want to ask you, the Kings, with the move to waive Nerlens and to waive Nemi and to move Jordan Ford from a standard contract, albeit an Exhibit 10, to a two-way contract, puts their roster 14 players plus three two-ways. That gives them 17 total. They have one more main roster that could potentially make the team. But then on top of that, three more additional pieces that they could invite to camp. Are you expecting them to bring anyone else into camp? Have you heard any names of anybody? Because it's been pretty quiet.
Well, I mean, they've had a lot they've been doing. I think there's certainly a need for that third guard situation. But I think they're going to keep their eyes open. I think it's going to be interesting to see what kind of approach that they take, because I think most free agents look at Sacramento and go, why am I going to go there? They're pretty well set already. Mm-hmm. The likelihood of
it's
making
not,
that
why
team,
would I go to Sacramento? Cause I don't want to play for the Kings or right. in Sacramento. It's very specific. How would I get on the floor?
Exactly. And there's still opportunity that can be had, but I think there's a thought process that if you're the Kings, you've got, and it's a great position to be in, man. You've got your rotations essentially set. You've got your roster figured out. And in the event that catastrophe happens and you suffer a significant injury in an area where you may not be that deep, yes, you have people step out and play different positions, but at that point, you may be able to go out and address some needs. I mean, certainly you don't need an NBA training camp to be in the finest shape. You can do that on your own with a trainer. A lot of guys stay ready all throughout the year and are ready for opportunity. But there are some names that are out there. I don't think any of them are the most attractive necessarily. And I don't know, you may disagree there, James, but if you look at a lot of the people that are available in terms of what this team could use, especially if you're identifying the third guard situation as being that area of need, I don't know that there's one out there that just leaps off the page to me.
You're not going for Cameron Payne?
No, I'm not. that would not be on my shopping list.
Your bingo card. Yeah. And I think there's a good chance that the Kings are okay with where they're at. And I also know that this team found a lot of value in keeping an open roster spot, because then they were able to do some other things during the year that they wouldn't normally have been able to do, like take on a second round pick or two second round picks and Kessler Edwards for nothing. Those are things that I think the Kings could use with that 14th roster spot, where they can actually obtain assets. I think they also need to make sure they're flexible and have roster flexibility in case they come across a really nice trade option where you got to do, one player going out, two players coming back. So I think they'll be open, but I don't think that they're going to actively try to pursue a player for the 15th roster spot. They might invite a couple of kids to camp to give them a little boost in cash, so when they cut them, they go to the G League and they got a little bit extra money. Yeah. But I'm not sure that they have a bunch of those guys lined up. And you mentioned Colby Jones. I think Colby Jones will spend a bunch of time with the G League this year. I don't know. I mean, there's not a spot for him at the pro level, and it's even possible that they get him there and work with him on converting him to a 1-2, 1-2-3, as opposed to just a 2 or a 3, and see if he has any point guard skills, which is what they tried to do with Keon Ellis last year as well. Just try to expand their game a little bit. So I think that they're going to stand relatively pat, but they'll be opportunistic. If that makes sense.
For sure. And I, look, in training camp, a lot of things can change. I mean, I think what we've learned about this this coaching staff is things can remain rather fluid, especially outside of the maybe the top six players on the team, that they'll afford opportunities to take a look at something different every now and then. But also, a lot of that opportunity comes with the belief or confidence that the coaching staff has in said player. So if you can make some big inroad in training camp, how can that translate to from training camp to preseason games to practices after training camp, where you're remaining consistent and not showing any drop off? Like, it's one thing to come into training camp and, oh man, this guy 2 weeks in, he's looking fantastic. Oh man, this guy comes in and has two nice games in preseason. What does that look like when you're a week out from the start of the season? How is that person looking in practice when now you're not playing in the preseason or in the final preseason games possibility? These tend to maybe look a little bit more like the regular NBA games rotations that you're going to see during the season. Now, how does that guy look? Is there any drop off there? So, the ultimate ability or the ultimate opportunity is having a coaching staff that believes in you. And we saw that last year. You know, we went from Trey Lyles, who had some opportunity, to not having opportunity, and then all of a sudden has opportunity again, and he kept it after that point. So it's a long, long season, and it starts with training camp.
Yeah, it's just around the corner. So just to rehash what the plan is here. Next week, we're going to take off. I am going on vacation. It's a bucket list thing. That's so, and we had to get it in before the season starts.
I like how you apologize. I like how you apologize for living your life right now. That's
yeah, no, but need you know, to do that. We don't take weeks off on the pod. We don't like,
no, but for, we don't. We've been pretty like, good I don't, about it.
Yeah. Typically I don't take weeks off during the, for the pod. I remember bringing gear to, Cancun and podcasting with Aaron Brewski from Cancun. Yeah, that was fun. And I was on the radio at, like in Puerto Vallarta and doing podcasts from there as well. So next week we're going to take off. The week after that, it's going to become a sprint. That is a week that stands out. That is the build up to training camp. Training camp starts on October. Well, media day is October 2nd. Training camp starts October 3rd. Most of these players have been working out together or working out with coaching staff people for quite some time. I think people should be really excited. I know that Doug Christie has spent most of the summer hanging out with Domantas Sabonis, like a very, very large portion of the summer where they've only taken a couple of days off the entire summer. And the dude's just a workaholic. And he's got the right partner to work with him on. If you want someone else who's a workaholic like Doug.
Yeah, he's got Duarte with him too a lot of the time.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really interesting. I think Doug likes to teach the finer nuances of basketball. It's not just about rebounding or shooting. It's going to be about a lot of things. Just think of all the things that Vlade Divac and Chris Webber were able to accomplish in the high post and how Doug was such an integral part of that and how to play off of your teammates and how your teammates can, you know, play off of you. And so I think that that's going to be big. So we got lots coming up. I will be off the radio next week. I'll be back on the radio doing the insiders, beginning Monday. Join me there. That's been a lot of fun. Kyle Madsen is awesome. I'm having a great time, building chemistry with him. And, Sean, you got a lot of stuff to cover, and don't you have a little vacation coming up?
I've got a little bit of a vacation. Yeah. I'm going to go back down to San Diego. A couple concerts.
Beautiful
down there.
San Diego.
That's right.
What does that mean?
Go too far
in Spanish.
Something about a whale's anatomy. I don't know if that's accurate, but Anchorman will teach you right on that one. I don't know. Brendan right. Hasn't seen Anchorman, so
that's right. maybe Brendan should be watching Anchorman right now.
It'll be fun because I think I come back the day before media day.
Oh,
so my first day back will be the first media day, the second training camp, the third, and we're off.
We're off. It'll be a sprint and it'll be absolutely crazy and fun. All right, let's finish up. Jump on board with the King's Beat. Go to thekingsbeat.com, become a premium subscriber so you get all of this sent right to you, your inbox. We will crank up writing. We'll crank up everything there. It's going to be a very interesting season, and we'll have you covered here at the King's Beat. Brennan will be back. He has not gone anywhere. He just, he did get his big job. We're very excited for Brendan, and he just couldn't make it today. We had scheduling conflicts, so he'll be back when we are back. So for Fox 40, Sean Cunningham, I am James Hamm, Kings Insider for ESPN 1320 and the King's Beat. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you very soon.